already closed your Bibles, you can remain open to that same passage. If you have closed them, you may want to open back up to 1 Peter chapter 1. We've been looking at some lessons out of 1 Peter, some of the things that Peter wrote, and wrote in particular to those that he describes as the pilgrims of the dispersion, and those that understood the nature of this life, no matter where we are, as being pilgrims. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into some more of the passages, if the Lord allows us to, as we continue to go through this epistle that Peter wrote, as he talks about being sojourners and pilgrims in this life and what that means to us. I want us to pick up in the passage that Jason read in our hearing just a moment ago, starting in verse 22, going down through verse 25. If you will recall, or if you weren't here, we'll refresh for you the idea that Peter has started this epistle by saying that we have become children of God, and how important that is, that we understand what it means to be chosen by God, to be a part of God in our lives. And he said, once you understand that, that gives you great cause for rejoicing. And talk about how happy we ought to be that we have this relationship with God, and what that ought to mean to us, and how we ought to be those who are demonstrating great joy just because we are a part of God's family. We are His children. And then he starts talking about how we ought to behave because of that, and talks about really that we need to be holy even as God is holy. Since He's our Father, we ought to be like He is, and we ought to behave as God would have us to behave. So when we see Jesus living on earth and the demonstration of His life as being the holiness of God, then we ought to be mimicking the very life of Jesus. And he said, and the reason we ought to do that, the reason that's so important, even as Wendell read at the table just a few moments ago, he said, God didn't pay for us with silver and gold, as valuable as that is. We think of how precious money is sometimes, and how necessary it is, and we want to make sure that we have a sufficient amount of it in order to buy the things that we need, and to many times buy the things that we want. But he said, you weren't purchased that way. As valuable as you might think money is, and the things of this world, he said, we weren't purchased with those corruptible things. We were purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that he gave himself in order that we could be redeemed, bought back, so that we could be a part of God. And if you just stopped right there, it just seems that the rest of what he's going to tell us ought to just automatically come into our minds as far as a thought process in regards to what that should do to us. If we can truly focus on who God is and what He has done for us and what it means to be a child of God, so that we understand what John meant when he wrote, behold, what manner of God, of love the Father's given to us, that we should be called His children. What it means to be adopted into the family of God, he said, that ought to just stimulate some things. And if we're living to be holy like God is holy, then His characteristics ought to show up in our lives. And that's exactly what we'll talk about this morning out of verses 22 to 25, and just make a few points out of that that hopefully you can take with you. We are glad to be back. We were glad to be gone, but we're glad to be back. We enjoyed the trip, maybe is a better way to put that, as opposed to glad to be gone, but we were. We enjoyed the trip. There were many of us out there. We got a chance to spend some time together with brothers and sisters in Christ on a trip together, and that was great. Great benefits. No broken bones, no surgery required after this trip, so that's already a bonus on my part. It was a better trip than the previous two in that regards. Good to be back. Good to be able to share together with the family at Nashua again. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We're part of a family.
And I think that that's exactly what Peter wants us to understand in this passage. What it means to be a part of a family that has a kind of love that has no end, that is produced by a love that had no end, by the sending of the Son of God to this earth, And so he's going to address some things for us in verses 22 to 25 that deal with that family nature, that starts off with what really even brings that about. Since you have, he says, purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. He says, since you've purified your souls, since you have become cleansed from where you were before. He said, that's what's going to make us a part of the family of God. There are a lot of ideas, even within the religious world, as to what it takes to become a part of the family of God. But he addresses that here when he says, you purified your souls in obeying the truth. God surely, based on that statement, has something spoken and recorded for us that tells us how we can purify our souls so that we can become a part of that family. He says, that's what's happened. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That comes through obedience to God. Look back to what Paul said back in Romans chapter 6. That great passage on the idea of being reborn, which is exactly where Peter's going to take us in this passage as well. In chapter 6, he starts that chapter off talking about the idea of the greatness of the grace of God. But that's not permission from God. God's not saying, you know what, my grace is so wonderful, it can cover any sin, therefore don't be concerned about how you live. He says, God forbid. That's just against the nature of what God would address. But he does say that the grace is so great that it can cover any sin. And he says, and we came in contact with the saving grace of God. It served its benefit to us when we were buried with him in baptism. He says, that's when we were raised in newness of life. And so that's that symbolic nature of baptism. Not that baptism is only symbolic, but the physical act is symbolic of being buried with Jesus Christ and coming up in newness of life. And he continues to talk about what that ought to produce. He said, because of that, because you've been raised in a new life, you ought to live a certain way. You ought to be slaves of righteousness rather than slaves of sin. And as you continue down through the chapter, when you get into verse 17, Paul writes, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, he said, that's where you started. That's where all of us started. We were slaves of sin. I'm saying after we got old enough to make the choices that we made, where we walked away from the innocence of our youth. He says, though you were slaves of sin, he said, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I think that's exactly what Peter is saying as well. He's saying, you have to understand that the family relationship starts somewhere. And Peter says it starts with obedience to the truth. Paul called that, you have obeyed that form of doctrine. I think he's referring back to what he's already addressed and will continue to address in this letter. He said, there is a form. In other words, my obedience to God takes on a form in that sense. And that I have heard God's word and I have turned my life around. I've decided I'm going to walk toward God. And I actually walk down into those waters of baptism and am raised in newness of life. He says, thanks be to God that through that obedience to that form of doctrine which was taught to you, you've been raised in that newness of life. He says, we are part of his family because we have been washed clean. Now, Peter's also going to tell us it isn't the water in the sense of washing of the flesh, but it's because we did what God told us to do. And I think that's what he's saying. You've been purified. You have been brought up in that way. But he says this is different than other kinds of purification, other things that have gone on. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently in a pure heart. Having been born again, we're going to come back to the other. He says, having been born again of what? He says, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Love that description. He says, here's a picture of my life. And yours is the same if you have been baptized into Christ.
If you have especially have any siblings at all, then this reference will make sense. I'm saying my personal reference. I have two brothers, one sister. All born to the same mother. All born to the same father, physically, in the flesh. So the seed of which my brother is born, or brothers and sister are born, and the seed of which I was born are the same. And he said, we are all born by the seed of someone. We understand that. And so that creates a relationship between me and my brothers. We are in the same family. Now, there are times, not so much these days since we have grown, but there are times when I didn't want to be family with my brothers. You ever been there? You know, I behaved so well, they just didn't behave very well, and that drove me crazy. There were times I didn't want to be brothers with my brother. But it didn't matter if I wanted to be brothers or not. Now, I could treat him however I wanted to treat him. But it didn't make any difference. I was his brother because we were born of the same seed. He's going to tell us something about the family of God. He says, because my brother and I were both born of corruptible seed. We understand that. My brother Jody, my brother Phil, my sister Becky, and I. All four of us, should the Lord not come before it happens, all four of us will die in this life. We understand that. Why? Because we're born of corruptible seed. That this body, the physical part, falls apart. But he says, not so of the family of God. He said, that's one of the things that we need to understand. We have all been born again of incorruptible seed. The seed of God. He said, so in other words, what makes me your brother and makes you my brother or sister? What makes me that is because we're born of the same seed, the seed of God. Think about that. Think about what that means. We have the same Father, all of us. And he said that in and of itself should create an image in our mind. He says to them, you were born again. You were born originally of corruptible seed, but you were born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed through the Word of God. He said, the way this all came about is because God's Word, he's going to go on to say, just look at the fields, and you certainly understand this now, don't you? As dry as it has been, the concept of the grass drying up and withering away is an easy visual, isn't it? We came home after that several-day trip to Colorado. Found out that it had been, from the news reports and talking to people, it had been 100 degrees or so, or plus 100 degrees for numerous days. It had been no real rain. It had been dry. You wouldn't have had to tell us any of that. When we pulled in the driveway and Judy saw her pots of flowers that are sitting there and some of the ones that are planted in the garden around the trees and such, laying on their side completely brown because they had been without water and scorching heat, you understand that's the nature of every flower, of every blade of grass. He says, but that's not what we were begotten from. The Word of God abides forever because it comes from the God who abides forever. And he says, what this does, when you listen to what God says, and you are born again into the family of God, he said, that is of a seed that is incorruptible. It won't ever die. Never. That part of us will never, ever die. He said, that's the family that we're in. That's the relationship that has been created. He uses, in the Greek, uses a tense of the word that is talking about a past event that has present results. It has created something for us. And he says, here's what that ought to do. Since you've been purified
He said, since that's who you are. You remember we looked at Colossians 3 on one occasion where he says, since you've been raised, set your mind on things above. He's just saying, simply because you're a Christian, you ought to be thinking spiritual things. That's what Paul wrote to the Colossians. He just says, that's just a natural. Since you're a Christian, you ought to be thinking about heavenly things. That's what he says. Set your mind on things above. Here he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart.
He said, since you're the seed of God, he said, God's children love each other. That's just the nature of God's children. And he uses both words for love in this one passage, which is interesting. He starts with, when he says, a sincere love, and sincere love of the brethren, he's using the word Philadelphos there. The same word that we know that this name of the city, Philadelphia, came from. The city of brotherly love. He's talking about the affection that we have one for another. And the word that he uses for sincere there is a word, or the old version, some of the older versions used to say unfeigned. It's the idea, it's the negative side of the word hypocrisy. In other words, a negative form. So where it, for us, it would be like saying, with a non-hypocritical love. That's the word that's actually used there. He's saying, love one another with a love that isn't feigned. He says, a love that is genuine. And he's not talking about here the agape. The agape is going to come in a moment. But he's talking about here in the general kindness and the way that you treat your brethren. Brotherly love for one another. As we raised three sons, there was more than one occasion where there was sibling rivalry. Anybody else that has raised multiple children understands the nature of sibling rivalry. There were times when we genuinely were tempted to say, look, all three of you go in the room, fight it out. I only want one to come out alive. That would have just solved things. Fortunately for them and for our well-being, we didn't do that, but it's tough to watch that sometimes. Because as parents, you're thinking, you're brothers. You should automatically deal with your brother in a certain fashion because he is your brother. Is that not true? Now, when we were growing, we thought that sibling rivalry was the way you were supposed to treat your brother, but we understand. He's saying, with a sincere love of the brethren, a love that is not with any pretense at all, it is just because they're my brother, that I love them. Then he goes on and says, sincere love of the brethren, he says, love one another fervently. And that's the word agape this time. He's talking about what we're doing for each other, how we respond to each other. It isn't the idea, you know, we've heard people say, I've got to love somebody, I don't have to like them. I think Peter is saying, you've got to love them and like them. That's what God's telling you to do. And he doesn't say we'll always like everything everybody does, but he says you need to just treat them in a certain way as far as the brotherly love, the brotherly kindness, in addition to being willing to do for whatever needed to be done. Linsky describes the word as it's used in 1 Peter this way. He says in the agape side of the love. The love of full intelligence and understanding coupled with corresponding purpose. I like that description. He said there's a side, not only the brotherly kindness, brotherly love, but there's a side of love that just has a very distinct purpose in it. Such as the love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The purpose was that I could be redeemed, that I could be bought back. Everything he did in sending his son was to make sure that I had every possible opportunity to get to heaven. He says that's exactly the way his family deals with each other as well. He goes on, Linsky goes on, to talk about the idea of, as it's stated there, when it says fervently love with a pure heart, that he talks about the depth of the love
as well as the intensity of the love. That it's coming from every bit of my being, the depth of it, that this is just because I want to be as godlike as possible. And so I love my brother with the absolute depth of my heart, and I love them with the love of a brother, and fervently so. As straining, Linsky says, fervently, as reaching out, trying to encompass as much as I possibly can in the love that I am extending. And so, I read this passage and I think, when Peter's writing, he said, understand God chose you. And understand what that means. Because that ought to give you great joy. That God has even given me a chance to be his son ought to give me incredible joy. Amen? Yeah, we ought to just be excited over that. The fact that I can even be God's child ought to just excite me. And he says, not only should it excite me, he said it should stimulate me to do certain things. And that's why he said it should stimulate me to live like God lives. Be ye holy, he said, even as I am holy. That's the life we're striving for. And he says, and what does that mean? He said, understand why I'm even asking you. Understand what I paid for you to even have this opportunity. It wasn't gold or silver. It was the precious blood of my son that I paid just so you could do this. And he said, and right back to what Jesus has said, and Paul has said, and John said in his epistle, when John said, you want to know how you can separate those who follow God and those who don't? He said, do they love their brothers? Peter says the same thing. Jesus said the same thing. He's saying that it's a relationship. And we ought to, just because, as I look at Danny, I ought to have this incredible love and kindness toward Danny. Why? Because he has chosen to obey Jesus Christ in order that he can be a part of the family of God and we are brothers together. Just that alone, he said, ought to cause me to respond a certain way. And as I look at every Christian who obeys God, every person who obeys God and becomes a Christian, he said, there ought to be incredible love for that person just because that is a person who has shown that what they want to do is serve God with their life. And that made them a part of a common family. It doesn't matter whether I think they are supposed to be a part of the family or whether I want them to be a part of the family. Everybody that is obedient to Christ is a part of the family. The writer of Hebrews tells us that. He's the author of salvation unto all those who obey him. Every single person that obeys him becomes a child of God and therefore becomes either a brother or a sister of mine. So I got to thinking about our three boys. When they were younger and you'd go through that sibling rivalry. And the emotions that stirred in me as a parent. And it just forces you to also evaluate, what does God feel? What does God feel when he sees any of his brethren acting in a manner that is unloving, that is unchristlike with one another? We need to make sure that's not indicative of our lives. That as brothers in the flesh have differences, brothers in the spirit will have differences too. Make sure that what we're doing is exemplifying the love of Jesus Christ. And as we grow up in Christ, we learn the value of every soul, especially those who are brethren, the value of everyone, regardless of other thought processes. And so what God longs for and what we should long for is always a group of people standing for the truth in such a fashion that it commits us to loving every single person who's obeyed the gospel fervently, unhypocritically, and from the depth of our heart. I think that's what Peter says. Peter says, this is how God's people behave because of what he has done for them. And it's a privilege to be able to even have the opportunity to love our brethren, or to even have brethren in the Spirit, because God has given His Son for just such an opportunity as that. If you're not a Christian, we pray that you'd take care of that this morning. That you would show God how much you love Him by obeying the truth, because that's the way you will purify your soul. That's the way you'll come to Him. And when you do so, you automatically become a brother or a sister to a whole group of brothers and sisters who are flawed, who are different, but who hopefully will always exemplify the love of Jesus Christ. For those of us that are Christians, may we always understand, as Peter had just described, understand what was paid to even give us the opportunity. And we'll seek to be more godlike every day in every way. If we can help you this morning, let us know while we stand, while we'll sing. Mm-hmm.